Words are important. I mean, I think it goes without saying, but they are, for the most part, at any rate, how we communicate. Spoken, written, read, heard. A very large portion of our education is spent getting us to work with words in many ways fluently. We learn to read, we learn to speak, we learn to listen to words. And a lot of that time is spent, we read and we listen to classic writers, to speakers. And then we dissect and interpret and analyze. And of course, you know, some of those, in the midst of doing that, some of those writers and their works sort of lodge themselves deep in our memories. Fragments that might remain after everything else has faded away, right? When we get the classic ones that we get from literature, right? We get Shakespeare. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sort of his opening of his classic sonnet. Or maybe, you know, we get a little darker. We get Once Upon a Midnight Dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. While I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Poe's The Raven. But it's not just literature. We also get it in our history, in our government. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Opening of the Declaration of Independence. And then, not quite 100 years later, probably that thing that we've all had to memorize. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Words are important. Those who write or speak should take care and craft their words so that their message is not easily twisted. Even those who seek to entertain, songwriters or comedians, craft and work and mold the words they use. Three men walk into a bar, which is odd. Wouldn't the third one have seen the other two and ducked then? All right, no more jokes today. Writing is an act of creation. Whether it's a fictional world, whether it's the foundations of a new nation, something more philosophical, or even good directions on how to assemble a coffee table. Writing is a means for creating something. Words allow us to express our thoughts and desires and thereby encourage and inspire others in this creative act. And in some ways, well-crafted words help build a community around them. Think of those words of the Declaration of Independence, forming a nation out of separate colonies. But then, we begin to see that the words that are used depends on who's hearing them. What is meant to inspire some turns others away. And do we have to look back any farther than the political season here during the elections? What appealed to some made others angry. Where some saw truth, others saw lies. While well-crafted words matter, there are some people who begin playing with the reality of differing interpretations. The words terrorist and freedom fighter can get argued over. who's the terrorist and who's the freedom fighter? How do we interpret that? Then we begin to judge people on how they use the words. We know pretty quickly the level of education of people almost immediately when words come out of their mouth. And instead of encouraging, we use it to push them away, rather than bringing them into the process. We don't want them. We look down on them. Those words become a barrier, not a way to join in and be creative. We get past those gray areas with the differing interpretations. While there may be ambiguous meanings or multiple interpretations, there are other times when words become damaging and destructive, far beyond just pushing people away. Insults, bullying, hate, and prejudice. All that can be built up with good and careful use of words before twists and becomes nasty and brutal. People tear down others. Words, it is discovered, have power. And when that power is used in terrible ways, well, maybe we begin to look away from the reality that words are important. How many of us, when we were younger and were teased and were made fun of, hurt though we were, went to our parents, how many were taught the little rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me." Or words can never hurt me. And it's not true. Words indeed hurt. Maybe with longer lasting influence than a broken bone or a gash in the forehead. I mean, at least in those cases, you have casts and stitches. But ignoring the reality of the pain that's caused by words doesn't make it go away. It's the wrong move. So maybe rather than pretend that words cannot harm, perhaps we should flee to the great and powerful word that is creation itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This word is the creative impulse itself. This word is the co-creator with the Father. Through him all things are made. This word brings light and life. And his glory is full of grace and truth. This word is the response to the darkness of sin, which twists and mangles our words and makes them destructive. This word is the answering word to a world deformed by sin. Lutheran theologian Regan Prenter wrote, "This creative word is God himself. Through this word, God steps out of his own solitude to be together with his creation. This word, his holy mercy, gives life to his creatures. The life which, in the case of man, is personal fellowship with God, a fellowship expressed biblically as the image of God. That is, a life in which the beneficent word of God's holy mercy is constantly echoed in man's praise for God's gift." This word that brought about our creation, our very lives, our world around us, now continues to be active in creation. This word came to life in the union of human being and God, and comes to bring light into our darkness where we confuse and damage with words. This word that was present in the very creation of everything around us enters again, this time to bring about new creation. bring about a new human being in us. As the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, now the Word, Christ himself, comes and dwells in our flesh, taking up residence in us. We dwell now in union with Christ through the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism. This Word comes and changes us, puts us in right relationship with God by grace. And this Word continues to come to us in bread and in wine, offering up of himself that we might live new lives. This Word bears the full creative power of God, for this Word is God. This Word is Jesus, the true and full Word of love sent from God to us, that we might be changed and formed into Christ's image. This Word brings about a new community, united with him as a pledge for the fullness of the union we shall share with God. And we too get to return and create with the power of the Word a message about him. The poet George Herbert wrote in his poem entitled Christmas, "The shepherds sing, and shall I silent be? My God, know him for thee? My soul's a shepherd too, a flock it feeds, of thoughts and words and deeds. The pasture is thy word, the streams thy grace, enriching all the place." The Word's power opens and enriches us, and we are freed to rest in this relationship where we create and craft words about the Word, and proclaim the great grace and truth who has come into our world to end all brokenness. Thanks be to God.